welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher and now a current college professor. And in this podcast, we geek out on the topics of creativity and design thinking and student learning. And I am passionate about this subject. I want to see schools become bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we talk about. And basically, this is a really simple podcast. I pretty much go through the same topic that I'm blogging about. And each month there's a new series. And this month, the series is the future of learning. And so we've explored all kinds of different ideas in the future of learning. And today's idea really comes from a personal story from my childhood of being in the eighth grade and what it meant when I realized that I could be a maker. And so the title is The Future Belongs to the Makers. When I was in eighth grade, my entire goal was to go unnoticed, fly under the radar, keep away from the cool patrol. Those are the people who ran the school, social hierarchy, stuff like that. I had one friend, this kid named Matt, and I knew him from church. We had been friends for a long time, and we were pretty much two nerds in a pod. And fortunately for me, he had perfect attendance year after year. I had the amazing combination of being both shy and nerdy. Still kind of true. And that was me. And this was my system. Find one friend, hang out with him, and fly under the radar, and everything's fine. And the system worked until one day it didn't. So one afternoon, he was gone from school. It was nothing serious. He had a cold. But I remember looking out at the sea of students and thinking, I hope one person invites me to their table. It didn't happen. I tossed my food in the trash and I hid out in the restroom, which is kind of nasty because the boys' restroom is like a little patch of the third world in our fancy first world school. But here's the thing. My plan had worked. Nobody had noticed me. And it felt horrible because one of the fundamental elements of being human is this desire to be known. And yet, despite all of this, I had two teachers, Mrs. Smoot and Mr. Darrow. And they're both people that I now know online thanks to Facebook and Twitter, which is kind of cool. But these two teachers saw me as a person. They noticed me. They knew that I cared about social justice and baseball and history. So they invited me to be part of the History Day project. Now, everything about it felt terrifying. I had to own the plan, and I had to figure out the entire process. I had to track my own progress. I had to figure out what questions to ask and where to find the answers. I had to narrow down my topic to something I cared about, in this case, Jackie Robinson and the integration of baseball. But that's not the terrifying part. Not really. That was just overwhelming. The terrifying part is what happened when I wrote letters to newscasters and made phone calls to former baseball players. I remember picking up the phone, my hands trembling, and I would read aloud my pre-recorded script and waiting for the stranger to respond. And every single time, I would think, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this. And then every single time, I would be so glad that I did. I eventually worked on a slide presentation. Back in the days when you had to take pictures and go to the drugstore and have them converted into these little plastic slides. The most nerve-wracking moment occurred when I sat down in a radio studio and recorded my script. I didn't like it. I was so incredibly nervous. And I would play the giant magnetic tape back and use a razor blade to cut it up and then scotch tape it together to get rid of the ums and uhs and whatnot. And I remember listening to my voice and just hating it. I'm not doing this, I said. But Mrs. Smoot looked at me And she looked in my eyes and she said, I'm not going to get to let you get away with this. Your voice is good. What you say matters. And when you choose to stay silent, you rob the world of your creativity. That stuck with me forever, those words. And they became the words that I've said to students in so many different ways over the years. Because that's what gave me creative confidence. It wasn't just the moment, though. It was the entire project, including the diverse perspectives I got from interviewing dozens of former Negro League baseball players. I began to see the power of making and sharing. And I was forever changed as a person, not because of project-based learning, but because of a teacher who saw something in me that I couldn't see in myself. So, fast forward. Take me now to the role of a teacher. A few years back, I surveyed my students to see how they use their devices. And here were the results. 158 out of 160 had watched a video with their devices, but only 4 had ever created and edited a video. 160 out of 160 had listened to audio, but only 3 had created and edited audio. 153 had played video games. Now, I'm not sure who the 7 were that had never played Crossy Road, but they were missing out. But none of them had created a video game with something like Scratch. And a quick little nuance here. I actually think that consuming is necessary for creating, and that often students move in stages from consuming to creating. But my concern was that many of my students who remained consumers never left that consuming place, that they never created anything. And that was my concern. I had a group of, say, 3 or 4 students who were the outliers. One student wrote novels, another had a YouTube channel and created resources for parents that he planned to sell when he reached high school. One kid had a podcast. I realized that the real divide wasn't this digital divide that I'd been hearing about. It was the creative chasm, a break between the consumers and creators, and the makers and the takers. And though taker might sound a bit extreme, I couldn't help but remember the words of Mrs. Smoot. We rob the world of our creativity when we never make anything. As my former students move into college and step into careers, I notice that the makers are better equipped for life. They are taking ownership of their careers and forging a way into whatever vocation they've chosen. But this goes beyond economics. The makers have better endurance and deeper thinking. They know how to handle frustration. So what does it mean to make? When you heard the word create or make, you might be tempted to think of a tangible physical product. However, in design thinking, students might design other types of products. Here are some of the types of things that they might create. They might create a digital work, like a podcast, documentary, website, something global. They might do a physical, tangible product. It might be, you know, coding with Arduino, or doing a cardboard challenge, or painting a mural, or doing our Shark Tank style projects where kids have a finished, tangible product. But it could also be an event. This is something that's happens when kids create a play or a TED Talk event or something like that. And that itself is incredibly creative. It doesn't always seem creative in the moment, but it is. And it is a finished product. And when I say it doesn't seem creative in the moment, I mean it doesn't seem creative to people on the outside sometimes, people who don't value it. But to the people engaged in it, they know, they see it, and they experience the fact that it is absolutely a creative work. And number 4, the final one, is a service. Similar to an event, a service is an ongoing activity that students design to help others. They're not designing a finished, tangible product, but rather an action for others. You'll often see this in something like service learning. So I want to think back to Mrs. Smoot and Mr. Darrow. And when I do, I'm reminded that it's not about the latest gadgets. After all, I was cutting audio tape with a razor. It's not about the physical space. We didn't have a makerspace at the time in our school. Nah, it's about the teachers. It's about the relationships. And it's about the power of equipping students to become creative thinkers. That's what it's going to mean for them to be ready to tackle the future. So I want to thank you for listening to The Creative Classroom. Music is from bensound.com. They have free Creative Commons music, and it is awesome. Quick request, if you enjoy this podcast at all, if you find it to be, you know, a fun piece of writing to work every day or whatever, could you leave a kind review on iTunes? I know there's somebody out there who's done that. I think I've got one or two. I'm not really sure yet. But that helps people find this podcast, which is really cool when that happens. So thanks a lot.